Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's Johnny.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Thursday. I hope you are doing outstanding. It is episode 135. How will they survive without Steph Curry? That is today's big story. As you can see on the chalkboard there, tons of stuff going on today without Curry. How to survive already on the refs. I told you about this days ago. That's what they do to try to get their team the advantage. I don't think it's going to help. They're letting them play physically in all of these NBA playoffs. That is the edict. We haven't seen any kind of a piece of paperwork or email or anything like that. But clearly, they tell officials in all the sports how they want the game to be played, does the sport itself. And clearly, it's a physical nature, not like the 80s or 90s, but certainly for this era of basketball, it is physical. Thanks for joining us, John Lund Unleashed. A ton to get to today, as you can see there. Other NBA series, finally a road team won. Robbie Ray has been absolutely great. Ryan Walker comes out and says, hey, man, mentally, I'm just not feeling it. You don't see a lot of guys do that in the midst of the season, so that is an interesting one. John Lynch has some draft stories. You talked to Chris Sims and our good friend Ahmed Farid on their podcast slash YouTube show. We'll give you some of that stuff as well, plus a compliment that's not really a compliment as far as Brock Purdy is concerned. Sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose pistol. Random things happen throughout the show. Before we get to roll call today and explain further, thank you for joining us. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Also, the Bay Area Sports Collective. Make sure you are subscribed to both of those places on YouTube, John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective. That way you know when the show is live, which we are 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. I'll tell you about yesterday, but Monday through Friday and Saturdays at 10 a.m. Plus select shows when news breaks and post-game shows like tonight. We'll do a post-game show for the Warriors-Timberwolves game number 2, which we'll get into deep and extensively this morning. Also, watching on X this morning, thank you for watching on X. We always appreciate you watching on X at John Lund Radio. I am on X often, so if you've got questions, comments, thoughts, you can put them right below here on the show, or you can put them on X at John Lund Radio. Also on Instagram at John Lund Radio, Facebook, LinkedIn under my name, John Lund, or John Lund Unleashed. However you're watching, thank you for watching. Thank you for taking the time for the show. And again, make sure that you are subscribed on John Lund Unleashed. Have those alerts on, and please click the like button. That would be dandy. Again, before we get out to roll call, my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Reappell and Reappell Sports Medicine. If you click on that QR code right there, it'll take you right to an appointment. That'd be cool, because there's all sorts of things Dr. Reappell does. Nothing has changed. We just changed the logo. But Dr. Reappell and Reappell Sports Medicine, I tell you this all the time. My wife had major issues, shoulder, elbow, foot issues. We were in Vegas a couple of weeks ago. Without Dr. Reappell, she kept telling me I could not be walking around this much. He does the stem cell treatment. It is awesome. He did it on Bartolo Colon. He's one of the first doctors to perform it in the state of California. He knows what he is doing, and I can tell you firsthand, because my wife isn't icing every single night on her shoulder or elbow like she used to do. She's walking around great, and it's all because of the stem cell treatments from Dr. Reappell and Reappell Sports Medicine. So click on that QR code right there, and you can go right there and check out Dr. Reappell. If you can't get to the phone right now or you can't click through on that thing, all you have to do is look it up. Dr. Jeffrey Reappell, he is in San Ramon. They do all sorts of great procedures, and I know if you're in the East Bay, you're thinking to yourself, well, of course I'll go over there. Even if you're not in the East Bay, it is worth the drive, and he is awesome with stem cell, which is going to make you feel better. So make that appointment, or at least ask him some questions about how it can make you feel better. And then I did, just a couple of days ago, did a renewal on my on feeling much, much better with Dr. Reappell. And remember, I tell you this all the time, for low T testosterone treatments, I've done these for years. They make you feel great, but I have myself, I was doing them every single week. It was like, come on, man, there's got to be a better way. And there is. You do a quick blood test. You see how low your testosterone is. He gets you right to the level you need to be, and you're going to be feeling like yourself, just like I am. You feel better. You have more energy. You just feel like yourself. And that's the way to go. So check it out. Again, click on that QR code. Get yourself an appointment. Like I said, I was doing those weekly. And it's like, oh, man, I'm just like, it was no good for me. And he's got me to the perfect level. I feel great. I can lose weight. My metabolism's faster. It's just you're going to feel like your old self again. So check out Dr. Riopel. Again, that QR code right there with Dr. Jeffrey Riopel and Riopel Sports Medicine. Or it's very simple. You can just look online. Jeffrey Riopel, San Ramon, and they do all sorts of other procedures. Not just the ones I'm telling you about, but you can check them out for yourself. Dr. Jeffrey Riopel, Riopel Sports Medicine in San Ramon. He is awesome. We've been going to him for years. I cannot recommend him highly enough. All right, let's get two things today. We got a ton to get to. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Let me say Danny is here. Danny's first in today. Very nice. Dom is here. Catalina, it was always great to see you. Jeff, I haven't seen you for a while. Very cool to see you, Jeff. Very cool. I had a question in regards to the law the other day, and I was going to ask you, but then I forgot what that was all about. Dom, good morning. Scott, hello, hello, hello. Please like and subscribe, as Scott says. Much appreciated. For that, Skills, it is great to see you, my friend. Jake, good morning. Let's see. What did I say? Did I put episode 134 there or episode 135? I can't even remember. Let's see. Who else do we have in here today? Vernon is here today. Joy is here today. It is great to see everybody. If I did not say hello to you this morning, it just means my eyes are a little slow, and I will get to everyone this morning. But again, thank you, thank you, thank you. I apologize for yesterday. Had some plane delays and actually just ended up driving. Got frustrated, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to drive. And so drove through the night and didn't get home till late, and it would just been a whole mess. We had a bunch of stuff going on. So anyway, that won't happen again. And I apologize if you're going, hey, what's he doing? So anyway, doing that. And then as far as the background, we kind of changed it up. We're in the studio, even though it doesn't look like it. And we're doing some renovations. And so we'll get it back to normal very, very shortly. But anyway, none of that matters. Let's get to everything that is going on today. And again, good morning, and happy Thursday. Always, always much appreciated. All right, at the top, without Curry. That's going to be the big story today, tonight. And we'll talk about it in the postgame show tonight, which you can tune into a little bit later. But here is the official announcement from the Warriors that was in my email yesterday. So blah, 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 8:19 remaining. You know that. Strained left hamstring, MRI this morning, confirmed the injury as a grade one hamstring strain, which is actually good news. Going to be reevaluated in 1 week. All right, so there's the official news. If you just thought, well, it just came from some stinking insider. What do they know? They know a lot. Shams knows a lot, and we'll get into those kind of things. But I wrote a piece late yesterday, how will they survive? How will the Warriors survive until Curry comes back? And, you know, it's not, honestly, it's not rocket science, but let me give you the part that's most interesting probably to you, which is, all right, let's do a little bit of math here. The series right here, this is what matters right here. The series scheduled to play every other day. So quick math tells us Curry will be absolutely, absolutely positively miss game two tonight, miss game three Saturday, and miss game four on Monday. So that's the deal. The next three games is what Steph Curry is absolutely going to miss. And then a week from yesterday is May 14th, and that's checkup day. So they're saying they're going to check it in a week. That doesn't mean he's going to come back, but that means they're going to check it. So he's going to miss two, three, and four, which is tonight, Saturday, and Monday. And then 1 week from yesterday would be checkup day, and he could potentially play that night. So as I further write down here, this is what I think some of it is dependent on. Because if this was the regular season, Steph Curry would have missed probably at least 2 weeks. Because hamstring injuries, they can linger, and then they can hurt him again. So where the tough area that the Warriors find themselves in is, let's say that the Wolves rip off three straight and they're down 3-1. Well, it's such a desperate situation a week from yesterday that Steph might play. He just might demand to play. Like, let's just do this. I got to do this. If it worsens, which some injuries don't worsen, but this one will. Hamstring, a muscle injury, this straight from the Dr. Lund here, a muscle injury can worsen. And so if it's 3-1 and your season's on the line, Steph probably plays a week from yesterday. If it's 2-2, even though 80% of the time a team that wins game five when a series is tied at 2 games apiece, 80% of the time the team that wins game five wins the series, if Steph wasn't fully ready to go, I don't think they would bring him back. And obviously, if they were somehow up, you know, 3-1, or obviously sweep the series, which is highly unlikely, then you know, 3-1, especially Steph is not playing at 3-1. I just don't think they're going to question it, and they're going to worsen it and all that kind of stuff. And as I say, from the doctor, hamstring injuries are tricky. So you can check that out. Who needs to step up? And we'll talk about it. How will they survive? That is going to be a big portion of the show today. But as I point out there, he's going to miss games 2 tonight, 3 Saturday, 4 Monday. There's no doubt about that. So if they're up 3-1, they give him more time. If it's 2-2, it's a coin flip on how he feels. If they're down 3-1, he probably plays, demands that he plays. Now, look, if he's at 60%, I mean, a lot of it depends on how quickly they can get him back. But the fact is, and you know this, a grade 1 hamstring strain was the best news they could possibly get yesterday, because that is the least as far as the hamstring strains were concerned. It's a miracle that they won the game in the fashion that they did. They won 99-88 in game 1. And the reason they did was just some clutch shooting at the end of the game, some clutch plays at the end of the game. It looked like Minnesota was just coming and coming and coming. And if there was more than 5 minutes, say you added 5 minutes onto that game, I think Minnesota probably catches them. But they made a couple of clutch plays down the stretch. They do enough to win, but you could see offensively what's going to happen. And this is the issue when Steph Curry is off the floor. I wrote pretty simplistically in that piece at johnlundunleashed.com, which you can see everything, all things Unleashed, is there. So shows are there, YouTube shows are there, podcasts are there, merchandise is there, links to all of my social media stuff, but the blog is there, which I wrote yesterday on this whole thing. And the biggest issue is, and I wrote about guys who needed to step up, and there are some pretty obvious things, and we'll talk about Kuminga in a minute, and we'll talk about Buddy and the way that he's playing, and Jimmy Butler assumes the role of Batman, not Robin, and he's done that before. So there's reason to believe that the Warriors are still okay in this series, or at least they can survive until Steph Curry gets back. But the biggest problem with Steph Curry off the floor, and you know this, is what we all call gravitational pull. So when Steph Curry's on the floor, it's kind of like Christian McCaffrey with the 49ers. When he first came over and you got a linebacker going his way and a safety going his way and a corner rolling up his way, and all of a sudden it opens all these other, all of a sudden George Kittle's wide open, right? And Brandon Ayuk's got one-on-one, because you have to put that much attention on. So it's the same thing with Curry. Buddy Hield's been amazing the last couple of games. He's averaging 28.5 points per game. He's shooting 14 and 19 from three-point land. He went from game 7 Buddy to second half Buddy in game number 1. He scored 22 of his 24 points in the second half. And oh, by the way, he did that without Steph Curry. Now, that's a short-term thing. But in a long-term sense, Minnesota's going to go, okay, we can play everything much more straight up. So to them, they'll play everything straight up until they look at Buddy Hield. And if Buddy Hield kind of gets on a heater like he's done the last couple of games, then he'll get the Steph Curry treatment. Now, he'll still get some of the Steph Curry treatment, and this is why it's so difficult to play without Steph, is you have so much freedom, and the floor tilts, and everybody's watching, and I said gravitational pull. And now it's, uh-oh, everything's even. And if somebody gets hot, then they can go and have an emphasis on said player. All right, we can go double-team Jimmy Butler and get the ball out of his hands. Oh, Buddy Hield's on a heater. Okay, he's going to get the Steph treatment. We're going to hug him and grab him, and they're going to probably do that anyway. They don't want to allow him to get hot early. It's kind of like Fred VanVleet in the Houston series. Curry can get hot at any point, so that doesn't really matter. But Buddy Hield, like some of these secondary players for the Warriors, if they see the ball go through the hoop early, then they can go on a heater. Buddy Hield's that way. Brandon Podziemski's that way. I think even J.K., Jonathan Kuminga, which we'll get into in a second, can be that way. So some of these younger players, and in Buddy Hield's case, hot and cold players, if they see one go through early, then they can be hot on that night. Now, to rely on Buddy Hield to do what he did against Houston in Game 7, where he gets 33, and in the second half of Game 1, where he scores 22 of 24, and it was without Steph Curry, is probably too much to ask to keep him on that heater. But that's what the Warriors need to survive. But the entire floor now is going to be more difficult, because all of a sudden, Brandon Podziemski, who we got to get into in a second, who has struggled, he had a 26-point game against the Rockets in Game 4 and was absolutely great. And since that time, has really struggled. And I put his numbers in the piece at johnlundunleashed.com, so you can check it out, the piece on how to survive without Steph Curry. But he's struggled since that game in Houston. And he's had wide open looks. The floor has been tilted. The defense has run to Steph Curry. These have been like, I'm going to have a cup of coffee, a sandwich, maybe some dessert. Oh, yeah, I got to shoot that three. He's been open. He just hasn't hit the shots. And, you know, that's kind of how the league works. Like, it's a shot-making league. So Steve Kerr can't go to Brandon Podziemski and say, hey, man, let me heap some more pressure on you. You got to start hitting those shots. you can hit those shots or not. Now, I'm sure that Podziemski is, you know, staying after practice, shooting a bunch of different shots, trying to get out of a little bit of funk that he's in right now. And you know this because we talked about it. The Brandon Podziemski that the Warriors saw at the end of the season in April that was averaging over 18 points a game, shooting nearly 50% from three-point land. And I said this at the time. I said, if this is the Brandon Podziemski that the Warriors are going to get in the playoffs, the Podziemski that played the last month in April and played so well, then the Warriors do have a shot at this thing. But now it's gone from that to let's just survive. You know, we've been stuck in the middle of the forest, and what are we going to do? Well, we're going to eat. We're going to do, you know, we're just going to survive. They're in survival mode right now. Before Steph gets hurt, it's like, man, we're rocking and we're rolling and we're running and we're gunning and we're going. Now it's like, okay, everybody, you know, let's get make a tight circle hook and let's survive. It's cold. It's windy. It's snowing. Let's just survive. How do we do it? How do we survive without Steph Curry, right? That's where you are. So let's get into that conversation. But give me your thoughts, too. I'd love to get it. Hit us up on the comment line. Hit us up on the chat line. If you're watching the show a little bit later, hit me up on comments there. If you're watching on X at John Lund Radio, in your mind, who is it? What is it? What has to step up? Who has to step up? What has to be different? And when I say survive, this is what I think is realistic. Can they sweep the series? They could. Will they? No, because Steph's going to miss the next three games. Could they be up 3-1? Not likely. I almost think the best case scenario for the Warriors when if Steph returns a week from now is like 2-2. You know, what I think survive is 2-2. Minnesota's a good team. And tonight, they're going to be looking like it's going to be blood. They are going to be wolves tonight. They are going to be a pack of wolves. They're going to be smelling blood in the water going, you know what? Steph Curry's gone. He's their leader. We got these guys. That's what they're believing right now. Anthony Edwards especially is sitting there going, okay, I wasn't great game one. He was great later. He was better later. I shouldn't say great. I don't think he was ever great. He really struggled. But they're thinking they've got a ton of confidence right now. They're going, wait a minute. He's out? Like, we can play these guys straight up. We can double a guy who's hot. We can get into all these. Oh my God, we got these guys. Warriors, on the other hand, are kind of, you know, they're in a corner right now, even though they're up 1-0, and they're a bunch of veteran guys, and they're just going to have to show championship medal. That's what they do. So to me, best case scenario, a week from yesterday, is the Warriors and the Timberwolves are tied at two games apiece. Steph comes back. It's a three-game series. That's what it comes down to. It's a three-game series. You're looking at this going, okay, it's 2-2. We got this. Steph comes back. We can breathe again. We're going to be okay. Now, anything above 2-2, I think, is gravy. If they were somehow to win tonight, and it's been crazy in the NBA playoffs, Oklahoma City blew out Denver, and we'll get into other NBA playoff series as they have on the chalkboard there. But Oklahoma City blows out Denver last night, and that's the first home team that's won in the second round. Home teams were 0-6 before the Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Denver Nuggets last night, and they blew them. They blew their doors off. What was it, like 149-106? And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander afterwards was like, yeah, we saw earlier. We've had enough of this stuff. This has got to end. So they blew them out. So road teams, it's not like they're intimidated to going into an NBA arena and winning. And despite what I just said, the Warriors could walk into this thing completely focused and play a great game tonight, where Minnesota could be like, oh, we got these guys. All we got to do is throw our shoes on the court. And all of a sudden, the Warriors are up in this game like 15-2. Because the line, even without Steph Curry, is that thin in the NBA. So if the Timberwolves come out and think, we got these guys, this is going to be no problem without Steph Curry, the Warriors will beat them tonight. They're fully capable, and they're going to be focused. And a guy like Jimmy Butler's a leader, and Draymond Green's a leader. And I don't want to make this kind of a theme, because I just don't believe it. And I said it at the beginning of the piece at johnlundunleashed.com about how to survive without Steph Curry. They're 9-3 in the playoffs without Steph Curry in 12 games. I think I'm not going to say a meaningless number, because it's not, but it certainly gives you the idea that, well, they can win without him, and they can. But I'm just simply saying that it's probably not, it's not better. That's certainly true, that they don't have Steph Curry. So that's kind of it's a misleading record, because you always want him to be in there. But what that does show you is that in the past, they've been focused with a veteran team saying, okay, you're not going to beat us. And I think part of it is the other team walking into the arena going, they don't have Steph Curry. We got these guys. It's that thin of a line. If one team is ultra-focused and the other team is saying, we got these guys, the Warriors can't beat them. There's no question. Jimmy Butler, who all of a sudden switches, and I'll give you a little bit. I don't want to give away number one on my list of the five, but we'll just start with Jimmy Butler since I just stumbled upon it. Jimmy Butler's been Batman before. He led the Miami Heat in the 2020 bubble to the NBA Finals as a team that was a play-in team. He's done it before. And in that run, he averaged about 23 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. He's fully capable of taking last-second shots. They've got guys on this team. But what it comes down to is I'm not as much worried about Jimmy. What's weird about it is normally when you talk about something like this, you start with the lead guy. Well, who's going to step up? Well, Jimmy's been it before. He's just being Robin because there's a Batman on the team, but doesn't mean that Jimmy Butler can't be Batman. He was Batman. Like for 4 or 5 seasons in Miami, it wasn't Bam Adebayo. It wasn't, you know, Tyler Hero. It wasn't those guys. It was Jimmy Butler's team. And they had a fair amount of success, including, as I said, going to the 2020 NBA bubble finals against the Lakers. Whether you want to call that fake, real, whatever, they went through it. They got through it, and Jimmy Butler led that team. So he's done it before. I'm not really worried about that part. Now, the only part is when you're in a close game and everything, as I said, tilts to Steph Curry, then it opens it up. I'm talking about close games, which these should be close games regardless. And then who's going to take that final shot? Well, now if you look at the Warriors, you go, damn, it's going to be Curry, but it could be Butler. It could be, you know. So now you've got these options at the end of the game that makes the defense question themselves. Now what they'll do is they'll say, okay, there's no Curry. We're going to double Butler. Somebody not of that ilk is going to have to beat us. So is it going to be Podziemski? Is Kuminga going to be on the court? I don't necessarily want Draymond Green taking that last shot. You know, Quentin Post, Buddy Hield, like which one of those guys is going to step up and say, okay, if they double up Butler, where are we going with the ball? Because before it was, they're going to put all this attention on Steph Curry, and maybe that's going to leave Jimmy Butler, who's lethal in and of himself. And so now a secondary player is going to have to potentially win a game. That's part of the reason. And there's going to be no floor tilt or any kind of thing like that or gravitational pull. So at the end of games or at important points of games or a point where you've got to stay in the game because you're getting blown out and the crowd's going crazy, where do you go for that critical shot? Well, of course, you went to Steph Curry, and he would stem the flow a little bit. Now it's going to be, okay, Jimmy Butler's in that lead, and then who steps up behind him? Is it going to be Buddy? Is it going to be Pods? Is it going to be Kuminga? Is it going to be Post? Who's it going to be? Somebody we're not talking about? That's kind of what happens. Now, the pecking order, Jimmy goes up a peg. That's fine. Who goes up behind him? Who becomes that Robin tonight? We need consistency. They need consistency. Who is that player going to be? So that's part of the deal. As far as players who could step up, and again, I wrote this at johnlundunleashed.com, there's a rotation spot open, first and foremost. And to me, who's the player who has the most talent who's not playing in the rotation right now? That's a tough one. No, it's not. It's Jonathan Kuminga. So if there's a player that needs to be sat down, and Steve Kerr probably did this after the injury, and he's not directly playing in Curry's place because that's going to be guys like Podziemski and Buddy Hield's going to do that. And there's going to be other players as far as positionally that need to step up. But there's a rotation spot open. And Steve Kerr is going to sit down with Jonathan Kuminga and say, look, man, you're our most talented player not in the rotation. I know you're pissed off at me. I know you're pissed off at Mike Dunleavy or Joe Lacob or the entire organization. And you don't want to be here. And you know what? There's a 99% chance you're not going to be here. I get it. But you're going to try out for the rest of the teams in the league. Forget about us. You want that big contract? You're going to try out for the rest of the teams in the league. They're going to see if you can step up in a big spot. And if you can, you might get that $200 million plus contract that you're looking for. And if you can't, then that's going to be a struggle. So let's make it mutually beneficial for both of us. You know, it's like, you know you're getting a divorce and everything, but you're good. You try to be as good as you can about it because of the kids. That's this kind of a situation. Look, we can be mutually beneficial here, Jonathan Kuminga. You can play well for us and fill a rotation spot, and then you can benefit yourself by playing well, and then the rest of the teams in the NBA go, maybe he is worth this money. He just came off the bench and saved the Warriors season. He's capable of that. In December of this year, in 13 games because of injuries, he played 31 minutes per night in December. He averaged 21 points per game and 6 rebounds. In a December 6th game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, he scored 21 points and grabbed 6 rebounds. He's capable of doing it. He's capable of doing it against this team. I'm not looking to him to save the team like a Buddy Hield or a Jimmy Butler or anything like that, but he's got to come in and play with energy, play with a purpose, defend, rebound, be tough. This is going to be a physical series, not necessarily Jonathan Kuminga's forte, and I'll get to the physicality of the series in just a second. And what Chris Finch is doing and what Steve Kerr is doing. And I tell you all this all the time. And there was a jackass who came in a couple of weeks ago. I was like, hey, coaches don't do that. Oh, really? This is what they do in the playoffs. So we've already started that side of things. It's not going to change. I don't want to go off on a tangent here. It's not going to change. This is the way the playoffs are being called in every series, not just this one if you're not watching. And it's clearly an edict from the league that not even that. This is what we will emphasize. This is what we won't. Officials do that in every single sport. Okay, this season we're emphasizing this or this or this or this. They're letting them play in the playoffs in every single series. So that's not going to change. And that's, you know, Jonathan Kuminga is more of a Ferrari. He's not a 4x4. He's not a big truck. But you know what? In this series, Steve Kerr is going to have to say, you're going to get bumped around in this. Don't complain to the officials. You certainly haven't earned it. So just play basketball and let's be mutually beneficial. Because Jonathan Kuminga could come into this series straight off the bench, open a rotation spot opened up by Steph Curry's injury, and he could score. He doesn't need to score 20 a night, but he could certainly give him 15, five boards, come off the bench, play with energy. He's fully capable of playing well defensively, hustling, being an energy guy, all those things. He has it in him. He just hasn't shown it. And some of it has been pouting due to the fact that he's not in the rotation, knows he's not going to be here. Hell with that. You're trying out for the rest of the teams in the league. So who cares what it says on your jersey right now? You go out there, you show the other teams you're worth the money. That's what your motivation is. That's it for Jonathan Kuminga. So they need him to come off and play whatever amount of minutes it is that Steve Kerr can trust him. And that's a big factor here is, and I know it's in the back of his head, like I'm going to get pulled out if I screw up. I'm going to get pulled out if I screwed up. There's a lot of guys who just get extra time to do that. And especially with Steph Curry's injury, there are certain players like Buddy Hield, for example. Buddy Hield's playing, man. You know, he played 40 minutes last time. I mean, that's last time out. That's just the way it's going to be for Buddy Hield. I'm not saying he's playing 40, but Buddy's been a guy that I've talked about in a sense of most spates where let's see if he's shooting well tonight. And if he is, he stays in the game. If he's not, he doesn't give us a ton extra. So GP2 is going to play those minutes or somebody else. Buddy Hield's playing. Like now, you know, now starring in the place of Steph Curry is Buddy Hield. You know, when they do that, they used to do that in old TV shows. Because an actor couldn't come to like an agreement. And so his character didn't die off. They do that in soap operas all the time. His character didn't die off. It's just they couldn't come to an agreement with that actor. Now playing the role of Joe is blah, blah, blah. And then that's all they do. And then they just move on. It's like, who's that guy? Oh, that's that guy. So that's what Buddy Hield's going to be. Buddy Hield's going to move up in the pecking order from if you're hot, buddy, you're going to play to if you're not hot, buddy, you're going to sit. And other guys are going to play because they give us more. Buddy Hield's playing. So hopefully it's hot Buddy Hield. Hopefully it's game 7 Buddy Hield. Hopefully it's second half of game 1 Buddy Hield, because Buddy Hield is playing because he has to. He's the closest thing they have to Steph Curry. And I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying he's the closest thing they have to Steph Curry. So now Buddy Hield's elevated into Steph Curry's role, kind of. And then who steps up in that other role? So I'm not saying Kuminga is going to be Curry, and I'm not saying he has to be. I'm saying there's an open spot in the rotation, and he's the most talented player to fill it. Now, if he doesn't, they're not going to hesitate to go Pat Spencer. I can't believe I'm saying this, but Pat Spencer, who gives him energy guaranteed. He doesn't have the talent or the upside, but he's going to effort. You know, and they're going to go up and down the roster. Now, does Moses Moody get more minutes? Like, it's going to depend on who has it that particular night. But the first chance, I think, at it is going to be the upside to Jonathan Kuminga. I think it's obvious. And he's got to go in and not just look to score and be that guy. Dude, get on the floor, grab a rebound, defend somebody, block out, play the basics, act like you want to be here. Act like you're trying out for the other teams in the league who are going to give you a big, fat $200+ million contract. Because if you don't, they don't have time to wait. But here's your opportunity. It just opened up. Oh, the sky's just opened up. The sun is shining through, and here's your chance. And it could be 10 minutes a night, 5 minutes a night, it could be 20 minutes a night, it could be 30 minutes a night. It's all up to you. So I'm not putting him number one on the list, but that's big. There's a rotation spot to fill. He's the most talented guy on the roster to fill it. There it is. Brandon Podziemski, as I said in the piece, in April was absolutely great. In the Rocket series, had the one game where he had 26 points, was on fire, 9 of 18 from the floor. He doesn't have to be that guy every single night because that's not what he's capable of doing. But what he is capable of doing is, and we saw it, is that he can give you a little bit of everything. He'll give you some assists. He'll give you scrappy defense. All of a sudden, he's getting you 6 or 8 rebounds. He's got to be that guy. But on the other end, especially without Steph Curry out, and when Curry's there, it's not as important, but it would be nice. But now it's gone from the category of, boy, it'd be nice if Brandon Podziemski could hit some of those open threes that Steph Curry has created by being on the other end of the court in that gravitational pull. Man, Podziemski's wide open. He can have a cup of coffee before he shoots that three. Now all of a sudden, it's become, dude, we need you to hit those shots. So he doesn't have to score 26 like he did in the Houston series, but Brandon Podziemski, last time out, he was 1 for 7 from three-point land. Last few games, he's disappeared generally offensively and has not shot the ball well. So tonight, hey, Brandon, we could use like 16, and we could use like 3 or 4 three-pointers. That's just that everybody's got to do a little bit more. You don't have to do everything. Everybody doesn't have to have this big piano on their back tonight. But Brandon Podziemski's got to hit open shots because they're going to give it. They're not going to give it to him, but he's going to have opportunities where he's open to hit shots. He's got to do it. I don't know how much Moses Moody's going to play in this series, but again, I kind of put all of them together, whether it's Kuminga, Podziemski, Moody, any of these guys, they've got to do other things defensively. They got to grab boards. They got to they got to do a lot of things. But when Moody, for example, has that wide open corner three, it's got to go down more times than not. Got to go down because they're creating these open looks for you. And the Timberwolves are saying, we don't believe you, Moses Moody. We don't believe you, Brandon Podziemski. We don't believe you, Jonathan Kuminga. Those have got to be players that hit those shots at key moments, not at the end. Those plays are going to be probably Jimmy Butler, but, and potentially it could be, but I'm talking about it's a 6-0 run, 8-0 run. The Timberwolves fans got all that, whiteout stuff. And they're doing their towels and their t-shirts or whatever they're doing. They're doing some kind of whiteout thing and they're going absolutely crazy because they actually saw the sun for the first time in 6 months and they're going absolutely bonkers. And you got a wide open corner three and you can stem the flow a little bit here. Boom, you hit that and they get quiet. You've got to hit those shots tonight because that's what Curry did. So it's not like you have to go out and score 25, but at key points during the, here comes the ball and it's swinging and all of a sudden, Pods, you got one. That thing's got to go. You got to hit those. That's what tonight is all about. So, it's overly simplistic to say Pod's got to step up. Kuminga's got to fill the rotation spot. Moody's got to do it. It's just a little bit more from everybody. That's what it comes down to. And then the most pressure is on Buddy Hield because Buddy Hield is playing the role of Steph Curry. As silly as that may sound, he's got to be a 20-point guy. Buddy doesn't have to be 33 like he was in Houston. He doesn't have to be second half Buddy. It'd be nice. But he doesn't have to be second half Buddy where he scored 22 of his 24. But Buddy, can you consistently give us 20 in this series? Can you consistently be a threat that can open up things for other players where they go, damn, man, Buddy's hitting shots again. All right, now they're not going to treat him like Steph Curry. They are in the fact that they're going to play physical and they're going to grab and they're going to put that's he is going to get that treatment tonight. He is going to get the Steph Curry treatment in that regard. But they're going to tilt the court and do all the kind of things, and they're not going to have their eye on him like they do Steph Curry. Now, they might subconsciously if he hits some shots early, and I think that's the key to the game. Buddy Hield getting off early, Steve Kerr calling some early plays, getting him off some picks, hitting some shots where Buddy's like, all right, I'm still that guy. I still got it tonight. I had it in the second half. I had it in game 7 against Houston. I got it going again. He needs that confidence. So if I'm the Warriors, I'm trying to get some stuff for Buddy early in that game so he can go, I can do this. I can fill this role. So that's huge. And then the last thing I'll say about this and how they survived without Steph Curry, and again, I want to get your thoughts, key player, key thoughts of tonight's game number 2 against Minnesota. And again, we'll do a post-game show right after the game right here at John London Unleashed. So make sure that you're subscribed, hit the like button, and have those alerts on so that you know when we go live tonight after Timberwolves and Warriors game number 2. The other thing is obvious. Steph on one end of the floor is a wizard. Defensively, their defensive efficiency rating since Jimmy arrived is a 111.2, which is second in the league. Teams against the Warriors in the playoffs are just shooting 42%, which is tops in the Western Conference. So however they replace Steph on one end, as good as Steph attempts on the other end, and he's gotten a lot better and bigger and stronger, and Steph's not a bad defender. It's just that they could potentially be better on that end of the floor. I'm not saying it's better they lose him, but what I'm saying is they can potentially be better on that end of the floor, and that's what it comes down to. That's great as we talk about Pods hitting shots or Moody hitting shots or Kuminga being in the rotation or Buddy doing his best Steph Curry impersonation. Those things are all wonderful if they happen. But in the end of the floor, they've got to tighten everything up from a defensive standpoint. And that really, to me, you're defending well. Anthony Edwards was missing shots. They start 0 for 16 from 3. They're not going to do that in game 2. They're not going to start 0 for 16 from 3. Now, if they do, great. And I'll come in tomorrow and say, they did it again. They started 0 for 16 or worse from 3. They're not going to do that. So they helped out the Warriors. There were some open shots that they would normally make. But the thing they can control is the same thing. Defensively, effort, don't make the boneheaded plays. The whole thing, and just tie this whole thing together. Draymond Green in the second half, and Steve Kerr says this all the time, and this has been a problem even when they were winning championships. Stop throwing the damn ball away. You don't have to hit a home run every time. Single and doubles are fine. Steve Kerr constantly says that. You can't have 14, 15 turnovers that turn into a bunch of Minnesota points tonight. So the whole process has to be tightened up. But one thing that gets me from game number one, and we talked about it a lot in the Houston series, Minnesota had 14 second chance points in game number one. Can't happen. So part of your defensive process, you got to finish the defense. You play great for 24 seconds. They get an offensive rebound. They put it back in. And it wasn't even Rudy Gobert. He wasn't killing them on the offensive glass. It was other guys. So they've got to keep guys off the offensive glass. They can't give up 14 offensive or second chance points. They can't turn the ball over just like, you know, we're that much better than this team, because they're not. So those are the kind of things. Defense got to be better. Don't allow the offensive rebounding. Tighten up those turnovers. Just all it. Just in general. Okay, Steph Curry's not here. Your margin for error has greatly shrunk, clearly, obviously. So what you have to do is the rest of your game has to be that much tighter, which is, okay, you play defense for 24 seconds, got to get the rebound. You know, no easy, don't let them run out and get easy buckets. It's got to be a half court. You got to make them get everything and earn everything. Don't let them get out on the run and push that kind of pace. Now with Gobert, they don't want to, and they're not going to, but you've got to make sure that there's no easy buckets, which is live ball turnovers a lot of time. Up, live ball turnover, you know, those kind of things. Stupid mistakes defensively, missing a rotation, those kind of things. Look, that's human nature. It happens on occasion, but you have to tighten up everything on this team. Defensively, turnovers, the way that you're going to play, whatever. All those things without Steph Curry have to be better. So there it is. Check out the whole piece, everything at johnlundunleashed.com. How can they survive without Steph Curry? I have it there. So before I get into already about the refs and all this kind of stuff, let me go out. I haven't hit the comments. I just went on like a diatribe for 20 minutes. So hopefully my mic was working during that whole time, or maybe not. It depends. Let me get to the bottom. A lot of people in the room today. Beautiful. This is great. Expect. Yeah, absolutely. They're going to try to get it going on a high stream boy. Expect Wolves raining threes. They're going to try early because starting 0-16, I guarantee, I talk about this chalkboard that they have and these bullet points on said chalkboard. They're just, it's just going to be, guys, you can't tell a team hit shots. They were just off. That was just one of those nights that they were off, and the Warriors hung on without Steph Curry, survived, won the game, which was huge. They're not going to start 0-16. We all know that. What else tonight? I'm getting together with three buddies for the game. We're getting liquored up and ordering. Oh, man. The red beans and rice from Popeyes. I love that we're going on a random right now. The red beans and rice from Popeyes is outstanding. One time we were in New Orleans one time covering something. I don't know what it was. And that's, you know, that's the red beans and rice capital of the world. And it was so, so good. And then I don't know what happened. I think it was, the hotel was close to a Popeyes or something, and we were starving and we didn't feel like going into, you know, making a long trek. And, a buddy of mine who was from down south goes, I'm telling you, the red beans and rice, we were at Popeyes. And he goes, it was like, I don't know, 2 or 3 in the morning. And he goes, it was the red beans and rice here are really good. And I'm like, dude, we're in New Orleans. I can't order red beans and rice from Popeyes. He's like, just indulge me. Just do it. And I ordered, it was amazing. So it must've been just down there, and it had big chunks of sausage in it and everything. It was so good. And I was like, this is at Popeyes. Cause you know, like in New Orleans, or it, I guess it was around New Orleans, then it better be good or you're screwed. So maybe they do it a little bit differently there than they do everywhere else, but it was really good. Let's see. What else do we got going on here today? Give me who you think tonight needs to sit. Look at Pat Spencer getting some love. He might, you know, it's funny, cause I made fun of Pat Spencer. I'm like, oh, they just pulled him off the end of the bench. He was actually drinking a beer. But the thing is, we'll have a couple of important buckets tonight. I mean, you might be right. And here's the thing. And I was saying this about Kuminga. He's going to come into the game. They're going to give him an opportunity to fill the rotational spot. And he's not going to have to do what Steph Curry does. I already said that if you're just joining the show. I'm not saying he has to do that. I'm saying he has to play that role of rebounder, tough guy, defender. And then, look, if you can get to the rim, like I said, he's in December on a December 6th game when he was on a heater in December, playing 31 minutes a night, scoring 21 points a game and grabbing 6 boards. He did score 21 and grab 6 against Minnesota on December 6th. The guy can do it, and he can do it against his team. It's just a mindset that Steve Kerr as a coach has to instill in him, which is, look, you're pissed at us right now. I get it. But go play for the other teams that might give you that $200 million contract. It'll mean a lot to those teams that you could fill in the rotational spot of Steph Curry, not being Steph Curry, but the rotational spot. And they're smart. These teams know what they're asking Kuminga to do. They're not asking him to score 30. They're asking him to go out and play tough and play good defense and rebound and scrap. And then when you get opportunities to score, yeah, you get those opportunities to score. We're not building it around you because Steph Curry's gone. We just need you to be what you could be. You're the most talented player not in the rotation. And you're probably a top, I don't know, three player as far as talent on the roster, but you just don't play like it. Steve Kerr can't trust you. You're inconsistent. But focus for this time. You know that you're going to be in the rotation. Don't be bitter. Just play for the other teams. You're not going to be here next year, but and that's difficult knowing you're not going to be here. But my point is, as you mentioned Pat Spencer, and it's like, look, I think they're going to give Kuminga that opportunity. But if he doesn't have it, it's not like they're going to go, well, we have to stay with him. They're going to go down the bench. And while Pat Spencer is in no way, shape, or form the type of athlete with the type of potential, bad word, that Kuminga has, he plays hard, man. And they know what they're going to get. And so that's, I always tell you, I use the word trust a lot in the playoffs with Steve Kerr. Who can he trust? And if he can't trust Jonathan Kuminga, they're going to throw dice on the upside of Kuminga tonight and see if he can do something. And if he can't, though, it's like, okay, the floor on Spencer is he's going to bust his ass. He'll probably get you a couple of steals. He's going to dive on the floor. That's what they're looking for. So, Kuminga, I know you're not a Pat Spencer type or a Guy Santos type, but that's what they're looking for, some scrap. So we'll see. What else? Hello, hello, hello. Good to see you, man. Like and subscribe, as Papa J always says, and good morning to you, Papa J. Good to see you. We do have some Niners stuff today, by the way. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. So, yeah, I mean, this is how I feel. Exactly right. Hi, Catalina. I'm not expecting Kuminga to go out and score 20 and grab six. I just want him to play a certain style, like he absolutely cares, has energy, and then when you have opportunities to score, be that guy. You know, but they need you to defend, to rebound, to so that they don't score 14 offensive rebound points, second chance points. That's all it is, man. Hi, Folsom Steve. Good to see you. 90 tomorrow. Now, I don't think Kuminga is going to get $200 million from anybody, but that's what he is. There was rumors that saying that's what he was asking for around the max. And he's not going to get that from anybody. But I'll tell you this, if he plays well in the series, it's not going to hurt. And there are certain teams who are not going to have opportunities to lure players or the players they want. And Kuminga's going to be sitting out there in a trade scenario. And there's going to be a team, probably not a very good team, that is going to go, you know what? We'll bet on the upside of Jonathan Kuminga. It happens all the time. I'm not saying necessarily $200 million, but that's what they asked for. So I guess I should clarify that a little bit more. All right. Let's get to this whole point. And I've talked about this many times in terms of, oh, we got a superhero. Hang on. I got to come with, oh, Skills, it's been a while. I'm glad. I'm so glad you did this today, because we need a random stop, and then we'll get in. This is a perfect point for this, because we're going to get in all the ref talk, which is already starting after game one, which I tell you about happens every series. The Skills Report, $7.31, which is wonderful and very much appreciated. I dreamed I watched some gals go goat for her while she ran to her car. And by the way, if you're new around here, Skills has amazing dreams that he can actually remember. She was so happy we became engaged, and I piggybacked her down. God, it's so, the dreams you have are so wild and vivid. Like, I can't remember my dreams. And if I can, it's just like little bits and pieces, and not, you know, I don't have detail or anything like that. So you watched a girl's goat. She was happy. You guys became engaged, and then you got to piggyback her through town. Like, what was it, like a parade? You were like waving, hello. Amazing. Thank you, Skills. I love the Skills dreams, man. It is just a wonderful way to go to the random part of the show. Let me just leave that up there and just let everybody soak that in for a minute. That's amazing. I tell you this all the time. I need to get the dream guy. Like, I have no idea what that really means. And maybe it means nothing. It very, very possible. Man, that's crazy. Very nice. All right, here's the I talk about this all the time. So Chris Finch is already starting in, the head coach of the Timberwolves, on the treatment of Rudy Gobert, and he said that they sent a bunch of clips into the league, and Steve Kerr saying, oh, yeah, well, you're holding and grabbing Steph, and we sent clips into the league. And look, I got news for you. We are in the second round of the NBA playoffs. It's not going to matter. Send in all the clips you want, Chris Finch. Send in all the clips you want, Steve Kerr. They've been holding Steph Curry in the playoffs since game one of the Houston series, and they've done nothing about it. and we've talked about it. I've talked about it. You've talked about it. National level, they've talked about it. Pre-game, they've talked about it. Post-game, they've talked about it. TNT's talked about it. Everybody that has anything to do with the NBA has talked about it. If you watch the other series, same thing is happening. Physicality is happening. Again, it's not the 80s and 90s. I covered the league in the, you know, in the 90s and the early 2000s. And I mean, it was, if you weren't bleeding, then you were fine. Get up. Let's go. There's no, we got to go to the monitor. Let's go to the monitor and check out if it's a flagrant foul. They didn't have that. They didn't do that. So it's not going to change. Chris Finch, the way that Rudy Gobert is being played. And I just think it's hilarious that you're complaining about that, but okay. He's the biggest man on the floor, but okay. It's not going to change. The point of doing this is, like I always tell you, is maybe they can get one or two. Maybe there's a point in the game where it's a key point, game's tied, fourth quarter, I don't know, 3 minutes and 32 seconds left, and the Warriors get called because they grabbed or did something to Rudy Gobert. Or the Timberwolves get called because they were hugging now instead of Steph Curry. They were hugging up on Buddy Hield a little too much, and the official just looks over and says, I gave you one. Stop bitching and moaning about it. You know, Ime Udoka, they got him on camera when they take it into the huddle, saying they can't call them all. I mean, that was the philosophy of the Legion of Boom of the Seahawks, Richard Sherman. Like, we're gonna just hold you and grab you and be physical with you a whole game, because they're not gonna just sit there and throw flag after flag after flag. They might throw one or two to just appease the other team. Like, okay, we called it. Stop, you know, stop getting honest about it. That's all that complaining is that maybe at some point during the game you get one or two, but they're going to play this way against Rudy Gobert. They're going to play physical. The Timberwolves are going to play physical. They're going to allow things to happen. Bob Fitzgerald's head's going to blow off. I mean, that's just how it's going to be. Oh, my God, that's got to be a foul. It's not in the playoffs. It was in the regular season, kind of. But in the playoffs, watch all the series. They're all being called the same, which means the league is saying this is the way we want the game to be played in the playoffs. They're saying that. Because it's not just this series. But anyway, with that as the backdrop, here is Steve Kerr on the Timberwolves sending clips into the league and them sending clips into the league. And so here we are, game one into this thing, and the verbal warfare, which always happens, it just depends on when in the series, it's already started early in this one.
Just the overall physicality isn't, to me, it's crazy out there. What's happening. Everybody's fouling each other. I just feel like they have a really hard job, because you know, playoff basketball is, yes, it's physical and they're going to allow more, but I think they could have called a foul 6-7 straight possessions with them guarding Steph, and so I got my complaints too. Trust me, we all do, and this is how it works in the playoffs. We watch the tape, we see all the fouls on them that aren't called. They watch the tape. They see all the ones on us that weren't cool. It's a physical game. It's just going to be. And both teams have to adjust. I'm getting ready to send my own clips into the league. So,
has it been consistent?
It has been consistent, yeah. It's, they're consistently allowing teams to foul. And as I said, it's a really hard thing to control, because everybody's playing so hard and they know what the other team is running. And if you call every foul, I mean, Ime said it in our Houston series, you know, just keep fouling them. They can't call them all, you know. And that's the old Pat Riley, Chuck Daly formula from the late 80s, early 90s. Just foul them every time, the refs can't call it. So this is playoff basketball. I always feel like the officials need to call stuff early in the game to set a tone, and Chris has his complaints, I got mine. I mean, for 8 straight games now, Steph hasn't had any freedom of movement. They've called maybe 4 or 5 calls in 8 games and we're watching on tape, and they're literally bear hugging Steph. That's a foul, but they're allowing it. And so, like I said, both teams are going to have complaints every game.
There it is. Steve Kerr hit it right on the head, and he kind of tried the subtle approach with the officials. He's not going to get fined for talking like that, but he's sending a message to the league. He's sending a message to the officials. He knows, as he pointed out, he's not going to get 6 or 8 calls. They're not going to do that. They're not going to stop the flow of the game. After all, this is an entertainment business entity. They want to find out who the best is, but really, this is the sheep's clothing on the wolf, which is the wolf is the money. All right. That's the way sports works. I tell you this all the time. That's the way sports work. This big, pretty thing that everybody watches, that's the fluff of the whole thing. And it's great. You want to win a championship and everything else. But at the end of the day, there's Adam Silver, you know, down there, and he's just counting the money. And that's what they want. They want a physical brand of basketball right now. They think that that's the best way to get everybody to watch. And then the coaches, as kind of a sidebar of this whole show and this whole fun thing, complain after every single game or at strategic points during a series. And they know that it's not going to change. And they're not going to all of a sudden call bear hugging or grabbing or clutching or grabbing or hitting or whatever on Rudy Gobert. They're not going to do that. They're just trying to get one or two calls at a key point during a game where an official in the back of his head hears Steve Kerr talking about the clutching and grabbing and decides, I'll call it this time once or twice, whatever. I'll give him a couple of calls. And then Steve Kerr has accomplished what he set out to do, which is get a couple of calls at some point and hopefully a key point during the game. And same thing with Chris Finch. He knows, dude, save your videos. The NBA watches the games. They know they've got they know that they have officials watching the officials. They grade them for every single game. They know. And if they thought that those calls right now, the way the game is being called in the playoffs, were fouls, they would tell the officials, call the foul. But they know we're not stopping it. We're not constantly stopping the game. We're not going to call that a foul. Yep, they're grabbing, they're clutching. Now, what I would like to see is early in the game kind of set some kind of a tone. Like in the NFL, what happens is if they're trying to emphasize a new rule, and you know this, they'll do it in the preseason. So what they'll do is they'll call it at an obnoxious level in the preseason. And then they'll hope in the regular season that it got into a player's head enough that they won't do it as much. And they might call it a little bit early in the season, and then all of a sudden it goes by the wayside and they go back to the way it was. But they try to get it into the player's head that this is what we're going to emphasize this season. Like, remember early in last season, I'll give you the perfect example. In the NFL season, they were calling that rock back, you know, that Juwan Taylor of the Chiefs does. I think Ronnie Stanley of the Ravens in the opening game of the year got like three or four false start penalties on that. That he wasn't lined up correctly, that his foot was back a little bit. Then all of a sudden, like 3 or 4 weeks into the season, it stopped being called. They did it all through the preseason. They did it early in the season. They want to make it an emphasis, and then they stop. And it's the same thing. If you're Steve Kerr, you're just trying to get a couple of those. But what they should do, and they probably won't, is the bear hugging just one early in the game or two early in the game. Like, stop, we're not going to put up with it tonight. And then you can let it go, and the players know that, and they'll go right back to it. But you're trying to set a tone. But if the NBA was even trying to do that, cut down the physicality, set a tone, clean things up, they would tell their officials, because this is what it comes down to. An official goes, what are we emphasizing? What do they want us to do? What are they, you know, there's a certain consistency. You heard Steve Kerr at the end of that. He was asked a question about, is it consistent? Not only is it consistent with the Warriors, but if you watch other series, they're playing it and calling it the exact same way. So that's not the officiating crew that night that everybody look, oh, this guy's officiating, whatever. I never pay attention to any of that. What it is it's league-wide. What are they calling league-wide? What are they emphasizing? What are they allowing them to get away with? It's happening in every series. So what Steve Kerr will do is complain. What Chris Finch will do is complain, and they're hoping for one or two. And if they really wanted to clean it up, they would clean it up early in the game, and then they would allow it as they always do, because you can't, as Ime Udoka said, they can't call all of them. But they're not even doing that. They're not emphasizing early in the game you can't hug. They're not emphasizing early in the game you can't be physical with Rudy Gobert. So we'll see. If they do that, then Chris Finch, his diatribe worked, or Steve Kerr's did. But I doubt they're going to do that because they haven't done it so far in the playoffs, and they haven't done it in other series. So they like the NBA, the way the game is being played. Whether we like it, whatever, I like it. I like physicality. I like it. Now, the grabbing, the clutching, what should be called a foul, whatever. Look, if it's consistent, same as a strike zone. Just let me know if you're calling the outside pitch tonight. Can I get it on the black and it's a strike, up, down? Like, I hate that. When Mike Kruko says, this owner, I'm not saying I hate Mike Kruko. I'm saying he, before or right at the beginning of all games, is like, this guy's he'll give you the low one. He'll give you the outside one. There's one friggin' strike zone, man. Call the right strike zone. That's different. Like, well, this guy's a high ball guy. This guy, he's a pitcher's guy. He's a hitter's guy. Like, what? How about there's one strike zone? Because that's what there is. Or we put the robot umps back there. But that's a whole different story. Anyway, that's the already on the refs portion on the chalkboard there. So without Curry, episode 135 without Curry, how to survive, already on the refs. I mentioned JK as part of the Kuminga as part of the rotation. Pods has got to hit those shots. They were wide open before. Not sure they're going to be as much now without Curry. And then Buddy, all he has to do is assume the Curry position. Best of luck with that. Other NBA series, like I said, before the Thunder blew out the Nuggets last night, and actually for the first time in, I don't know, years, probably made the Joker, Jokic, not look so great last night. That was the first time in a long time. Teams had been 0-6 in the last six games in the second round, home teams. And so finally Oklahoma City turned that around. So that's good news for the Warriors tonight in Minnesota. The road teams have been dominating. The Celtics down an 0-2 hole against the Knicks. I said this beginning of the series, I thought the Knicks were a 16-game sprint team more than they were an 82-game team. That's how certain teams are, and the Knicks are showing that. Now, are they out of the woods? No. Could Boston go into New York and win two? Yeah, I could see that happening. Boston's that good of a team. Jason Tatum is probably the most scrutinized star in the league just because sometimes he doesn't have it. Boston from three-point land in both of these games has absolutely struggled. Now, having said that Minnesota wouldn't start this game 0-for-16, Boston missed 45 three-pointers in game one and wasn't much better. What were they, like 10 of 40 last night or something? They weren't much better in game number two. So the thing that is, you know, around the league, but certainly Boston is one of the top three-point shooting teams, and all of a sudden in their first two games, it has completely evaded them, lit on the basket kind of stuff, and the Knicks took advantage. Jalen Brunson has been great in the series. The Knicks have the ability with the defensive players that they have. Now, Brunson's not one of them because of size, but they've got guys like Anunoby and Mikal Bridges, and they can throw some defense at you, and you know how a Tom Thibodeau team is going to play. So the Knicks are tough, but that series isn't over by any stretch of the imagination, even though the Celtics are in a really bad spot. They could go to New York and win two. They could get back in that series, but the Knicks are certainly a team that could get to the NBA Finals because, you know, I look at Cleveland. Cleveland's got a ways to go. Indiana's up on that series. Like, the East is wild. So Indiana wins two and Cleveland goes back home. And New York wins two in Boston as they go back home. So the East is completely upside down right now. Could it be a Knicks-Pacers East Final when we all thought it was going to be Cleveland and Boston? Right now, it looks like that. A Knicks-Pacers Conference Final. Now, both of those teams are fully capable. Like, Cleveland could go to Indiana and win both games. They've got to get healthy. Their problem is they had three guys sitting on the bench over there going, hello? So that's a major problem for them. And then Boston, the ball just wasn't going down. Three ball just wasn't going down. I'm oversimplifying that, but that side of it, as far as the East is concerned. Oklahoma City, as I said, still a young basketball team, and Denver steals game one. And you know what's wild about that whole thing? Denver, just like the Warriors, had played a tough game seven 48 hours prior. They go into Oklahoma City and beat them. And part of that is, and I don't want to take anything away from Denver, but it's kind of like what's going on tonight with Minnesota. There's a mentality there that you have to have going into a game. In other words, this team can beat us. We have a healthy amount of respect for them, and they can beat us. And I surmise that Oklahoma City's like, wait a minute. They just played 48 hours prior. We're at home. We've been resting. We swept our first round series. We got these guys. This is no problem. And Denver came in, punched him in the mouth, and went, really? And so I don't know that Oklahoma City had the right mentality. And in this league, you can play the worst team in the league. If you're just like, whatever, we're looking by this game, you'll get beat. And I think that's what happened. And Aaron Gordon makes the shot, and now they're 1-1. And Oklahoma City went, whoa. They had the right amount of respect for Denver in game number two. It was their first time, as I said. How is Oklahoma City going to respond when they've had to face adversity or a must-win game? Not must-win, but really nice to win this game. Or they go 0-2 going back to Denver, the toughest place to play in the league, and they went, no. And they were focused, and they were ready, and they kicked Denver's ass. So it's the same thing tonight. There's a little bit of that tonight where does Minnesota walk into their home building thinking to themselves, are you kidding me? They don't have Steph Curry. We got this. Now, they're down 0-1 just like Oklahoma City was, so I think they're going to have the proper amount of respect. I think they're going to have the proper amount of urgency in this game, Minnesota, but Oklahoma City didn't in game one. So I believe that Minnesota being down 0-1, saying doesn't matter if Steph Curry's playing or not, and I'm sure Chris Finch, their coach, is like, look, man, it doesn't matter without Steph Curry, and he's got to drill that into this team's head. And they have enough veteran players. I mean, they have some young guys. Anthony Edwards, to me, is still young, but is, you know, he went to the conference finals last year, so he's been in the playoffs. But regardless of the fact, if they come in Minnesota and says, we got these guys, Warriors going to beat them tonight. If they come in with a proper amount of respect and urgency and say, it doesn't matter if they have Curry or not, we got to drill them because we're down 0-1. And that's the type of team I expect to have. It doesn't mean that they'll get blown out. What was it, 149-106, like Denver did last night? But it does mean that Minnesota is probably going to have the proper amount of respect and, like I said, urgency to play well tonight against the Warriors. So there you go. That's the rest of what's going on with NBA series. Let me just check before we jump off the NBA. And again, if you just joined the show and you're like, wait a minute, have you talked Warriors? Yeah, talked a ton of Warriors, talked about the other NBA series. All you have to do is you can go back to the beginning of the show, or if you just jumped into it at johnlundunleashed.com on YouTube or the Bay Area Sports Collective. I'm going to put some chapters right after the show, so I do that on YouTube. So if you jump over to YouTube after the show, maybe you're watching on X and you missed the beginning of the show. First, we're an hour into the show. We talked tons of Warriors and NBA playoffs and Steph Curry and how they survive without him. All you got to do is, after the show, I put chapters up at John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and the Bay Area Sports Collective, and you can go back and watch the show at any point that you would like. So it becomes custom to you, and you're welcome for that. Much appreciated. Hour into the show. Thank you so much for joining us. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please make sure that you like, you subscribe, and you have those alerts on because we're doing Warriors postgame tonight after game number 2 in Minnesota. So make sure that you are here for that. And the way to do that is John Lund Unleashed. Put those alerts on and subscribe. Also do it on Bay Area Sports Collective. Those will be exclusive to YouTube tonight, John Lund Unleashed in the Bay Area Sports Collective. So make sure that you subscribe and you'll know when we come on, and that would be absolutely dandy. Do remember that the show is brought to us by our good friends at Riopel Sports Medicine, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel and Riopel Sports Medicine. They are the best. I tell you, my wife with the stem cell treatment, me with the low T, which I just had again, got all amped up on that last week, and I feel great. Quick blood test on that. Every like 4 months you go in, quick procedure. Awesome. You're out and you're good and you're feeling better and you got the energy and you can lose weight. Your metabolism's faster. And then my wife is doing the stem cell treatment, which is absolutely great. Elbow, shoulder. But more importantly, we were walking around in Vegas just 2 weeks ago, I guess. I was in Vegas and she just turned to me as we were walking down the strip and going, I could never do this if it wasn't for Dr. Riopel. So he does a great job with the stem cell treatment. If you want to get an appointment, click right there. There's a QR code, or you can just look it up on, you can Google it, check it out on your favorite search engine. Just put in Dr. Jeffrey Riopel, San Ramon, California, and he does all sorts of other procedures as well. But Riopel Sports Medicine right there. If you check that out, you will be happy. And in my wife's case, totally changed her life, man. I mean, that big. Let me make sure that we are done talking some NBA, at least for today, and we'll hit up a little bit of Giants. Plus, we got some John Lynch yesterday and some Patrick Peterson. Let's see. What else do we have today? Anything else? I love this. I apologize in advance for anything and everything I say in the post-game chat. Liquor. Yeah, I should say the same thing. You know how I am. If they win tonight, well, actually, you know what? I think it was Rock 408 who may not be here today, but he told me that that I had to do a whiskey shot if they won game one, and I didn't have it with me. So I will absolutely bring a bottle in here tonight, and if they do, I'll make sure that I do that. Hi, Folsom Steve. Yes, I think the NBA would absolutely step in the way of that in some way, shape, or form. They're not doing Indianapolis versus Minneapolis for the NBA Finals, all Midwest series. Yeah, ratings 0.0. Let's see, what else do we have? Warriors Knicks. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Hey, what's going on there? You might be new. The real E. Leezy. What's going on, man? By the way, nice. All respect to Kobe. Steph Curry's the Under Armour. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no question. Without Steph Curry, I mean, my God, he went in that direction. That's a great story, by the way, if nobody's read that, about how disrespectful Nike was to Steph. And then he went, okay, I'll go to Under Armour. And he just created a whole big thing. Without Steph, where's Under Armour? I mean, they grabbed him like their Jordan, like you said. What else we got? All right, let's head up on some Giants talk. Robbie Ray has been absolutely great. Early in the season, first couple starts, he was kind of off and on, but let me share my screen with you because I'll just throw the box score up from last night. It'll make things a little bit easier. I don't know why Google's asking me that. I know they're accessing my screen. Thank you very much. You can see right there, they win 3-1. So that's a big series win. They've been, I think they're 12-9 on the road, which is, you hesitate to say road warriors. And by the way, they're in Minneapolis for an off day, and then they start playing tomorrow. But then you look at Robbie Ray right there. Six innings, three hits, one earned, five strikeouts. His ERA is down to 2.84, and he's 5-0. Those are all-star kind of numbers. Robbie Ray's been absolutely great. So put him in behind Logan Webb. He's their second-best starter right now. Justin Verlander has pitched well enough to be better. You see Ty Rogers doing what he's doing. And then after the game, I don't know if you heard any of the post-game, but Ryan Walker is dealing with mental issues. And you hear guys talk about this, or people, sports figures talk about this, after their career or in the offseason or something like that. But to do it right in the middle of the season, and Ryan Walker's like, look, man, I'm struggling right now in the head. And last night when the Cubs let off with a single, he's like, oh no, not again. And he's, you know, he's talking about this right after the case. So my thought about the bullpen, and I hope he gets, you know, any kind of help he needs. I hope he's feeling better. We all go through certain things at certain times. You certainly don't want your closer from a baseball perspective to be downing things. And, you know, give Bob Melvin a ton of credit. That's what veteran managers do. You know, the guy struggles and he puts him right back in there to say, look, man, I got confidence in you. And when you're dealing, obviously, with things and you have a lack of confidence, maybe, which is everything in sports, you got to believe you're going to get these guys out. You know, you got to believe you're going to make a kick, make a throw, you hit a shot, whatever the case may be. He puts him right back in there. But that does change the dynamic of the bullpen, because if Ryan Walker is not believing that he can do it with that 6.08 ERA, then Duvall, who's been really, really good, all of a sudden assumes that role again. Maybe Walker's the eighth inning guy. Maybe that takes a little bit of pressure off him. You got Rogers in there, et cetera. Harrison is back up. So, look, they've got a lot of options. I like Ryan Walker a lot. I hope he gets his mental game back, because he's just that good. You know, when he's on and he's nasty, he's just that good. So Bob Melvin after the game, let me pop this up for you. Bob Melvin after the game talking about the Robbie Ray performance, but also the fact that – where's that? There he is. Also about a little bit about Ryan Walker and why he put him back in there after struggling.
Knock wood for sure. I mean, 5-0 is a pretty good record, sub-3 RA now. And, you know, when he takes them out, we feel like we have a really good chance. You know, it's 1-1, playing a really good team, plays well at home. And to give you six innings like that against that lineup, you know, doing things a little differently again, his velo wasn't really good early in the game, and then later in the game it was. You know, it's a day where in the past maybe he just throws high heaters and lets him hit the ball in the air. Had a lot of ground balls, has just enough strikeouts, gave us six innings. So it was, it just, you know, he seems to be getting better as the season goes along, even though.
Sorry, that was so tight. I think that meant to be a big thing. So I'm grabbing a cup and there's Bob Melvin. But anyway, there he is talking about Robbie Ray, who's been absolutely great. Verlander's pitching well enough. I still think that at some point Birdsong, and I know he struggled in Chicago earlier in that series, but that's a nice series win. I told you that at the beginning of that series. Getting 2 or 3 from the Cubs is a big deal. All of a sudden, they're winning series on the road, which is huge. And they go from, you know, scoring double-digit runs one night to scoring, you know, winning a 3-1 game. And a lot of times, that's going to be what the Giants have to do, which means your defense has got to be tight. You're getting key hits. You're getting good performances from your pitching staff. And that's what happened for the Giants yesterday. And now they take 2 of 3 from the Cubs. And they're sitting there on an off night. And I guess a bunch of the Giants are going to head over. They're off on an off night. They're going to head over and check out the Warriors take on the Timberwolves tonight. So there you go. That's what's going on as far as the Giants are concerned. John Lynch, this was kind of interesting. It is rookie camp time, and if something comes out of that that's worth talking about, I certainly will. I'm not going to force Niners down your throat if there's nothing newsworthy that's going on there. But here is John Lynch. He was on with Chris Sims podcast, and you'll recognize our good friend Ahmed Farid. And here's John Lynch telling a story, a draft story about Mykal Williams, how we thought New Orleans was actually going to take him at 9, and how they were kind of formulating a backup plan. And this just tells you, it shows you the craziness of the NFL draft on draft day.
Yeah. Nobody's calling. I'm good friends with Mickey Loomis, but I'm not going to call Mickey and say, who are you taking at 9? You know, like, you know, I think one of the just truths about this thing is you try to limit it and you try to tell people, hey, your job's on the line if information gets out of here, but people tend to talk and there's reminders going on all the time. It can be something innocuous. It can be telling your wife who tells her friend who then tells, you know, somebody, well, I heard this. you know, but you try to be careful, but stuff gets out. And, you know, I think with Mike Hill, we felt like that there was a good chance the Saints would take him. I think we probably ran into a situation where the one player was there in Kelvin Banks, a Texas guy, right. Offensive tackle, that he's probably the one guy I think you learn after that they, if not him, they would have taken Mike Hill, but Banks was there and they didn't expect him to be there.
Right.
So it's things like that. But, you know, I don't know. The last couple of years, early on, we made a ton of trades. I think we're learning to be a little more patient and just let things come to you.
Sorry about that. It took myself off the stage, as they say. So there's John Lynch with Chris Sims and Ahmed Fareed yesterday, and he's talking about the draft process, which is really interesting. He also talked about 2024, where they were debating a linebacker or Cowing, the wide receiver that they got out of Arizona, and they were going back and forth, and Kyle was saying, oh, we got plenty of time. There's like 30 seconds, and John is sweating. So it's a great podcast to go back and listen to it. But the Mikal Williams thing. So he said that if Williams had been taken by New Orleans at 9, then they were going to take an offensive player at 11, which leads me to believe that they were going to take Banks. Like, they had a higher grade than a lot of people did on Banks. And the thing about Banks was, and I wouldn't have minded that pick. Mikal Williams is certainly a swing at the upside. Kelvin Banks would have probably been like socks and underwear, which is you got to get an offensive lineman. Now, he had 42 starts at Texas. I didn't love him. I like the other guys that went before him. Will Campbell was one, Membu was another, and Banks was in that mix. But he seemed to be rising, Banks, late in the process. And a lot of people thought, well, and one of the reasons why was, and it kind of is completely different from Mikal Williams. Mikal Williams is an upside pick. He's a good edge setter right now. He played the least amount of snaps of the edge rushers in the draft coming out. So he's only 20 years old. So he's got all these physical skills, and they scream that he could be a 10, 12, 14 sack guy and be a really good edge setter opposite Nick Bosa, which would be amazing, but he didn't show it consistently enough at Georgia. So he's an upside pick. Kelvin Banks, on the other hand, was a guy that started 42 games at Texas. And although I didn't think was the sexiest pick, at worst, he was going to be a good guard, because they said, you know, they talk about arm length and everything. So a lot of people wanted Banks because they think he can be a good tackle, but if he can't, they thought he'd be a great guard. And you don't love taking guards at 9 like New Orleans did, but if it ended up happening that way, at least it's not a total bust. And I think that's what the Niners actually would have done, that they would have taken Banks at 11, put him at right tackle, Colt McKivitz at left guard, like I've been telling you. And then if Banks could have taken over at left tackle for Williams, that would have been great. If not, at worst, he's a really good guard. So there's not the upside. That would have been a totally different kind of a pick. There wasn't the upside. And then everybody would have been screaming and yelling, oh, what about your defense? And then they took 5 consecutive defensive players to start anyway. So they just would have deviated that for just a second. I wasn't the biggest Banks fan. I get it. Totally different pick, not only because it was different sides of the ball, but I think that, as I said, Banks, if he wouldn't have made it as a tackle, certainly would have made it, a lot of people think, as a guard. So New Orleans took him at number 9, and then the Niners say that they had Mikal Williams, and they were crossing their fingers and saying they were going to trade up. Who knows? I mean, if Banks had been on the board and Williams on the board, it sounds like they would have taken Williams, but you just never know. You're always gonna talk up the guy that you took. So that was kind of an interesting thing. And then I don't have this on the board because I saw this late, but this was Patrick Peterson, and he was on with Kay Adams. And the interesting bit about Patrick Peterson is he's the former corner for Arizona. He bounced around the league. I think he was on Minnesota, a number of different teams. He was a top 10 pick out of Florida State when he came out, and probably a Hall of Fame type, or close to a Hall of Fame type of player when he played with Arizona. But he knows Brock Purdy and knew Brock Purdy. And I don't know if you remember this picture, but there was a picture of Brock when he was the Arizona State High School Player of the Year, and he was on the field. The Cardinals were playing, and he has a picture of Patrick Peterson. And I don't know that I would call the two friends. I can't remember what the relationship was, but they knew each other. At the very least, they knew each other. And so he was on with Kay Adams and talks about – she asked him about Brock Purdy because he knows – Peterson knows him, goes back to his high school days. So here's Patrick Peterson's assessment of Brock Purdy, and I can't decide if this is a compliment or not.
A very efficient quarterback. You know, haven't been asked to do a lot just yet. So he does enough to win. You know, he does what the offense call upon him to do, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, the 49ers have the quarterback that they feel that can help them win ball games. And or their system if they have the guy that fits their bill.
So basically, in a roundabout way, he said system quarterback. Now, again, I'm not a fan of that term because every quarterback has to fit within a system and every quarterback wants to maximize the system. So as crazy as this sounds, you could call Patrick Mahomes a system quarterback because it's a really good system by Andy Reid. Now, they ask him to do a lot, but over the last few years, what they've tried to do with Patrick Mahomes is they've actually tried to minimize what he's had to do on the offense. They try to run the ball and play defense in Kansas City, and he hasn't had otherworldly numbers as Patrick Peterson, not over the last couple of years. Over the last couple of years, he hasn't had otherworldly numbers. They've actually won by trying to run the ball and play defense. So you could call him a system quarterback, as crazy as that sounds. You call any quarterback a system quarterback. They all play within a certain system. I would disagree with Peterson in his assessment of saying they haven't asked him to do a whole lot. Well, of course they do. Everybody asks a quarterback to do a lot. When he comes out of the huddle, he's reading the defense. Where are we going to go? Option plays. Do I call the second or third play that we had in the huddle? Do I change? Like, especially for a guy who played and especially played at the level that he did, saying that a quarterback is not asked to do a lot. I mean, in college you have that. In college you have there's a one read of half the field or you run. I mean, that's really as simple as it gets. We want you to read this one half, this one receiver, and if he's not open, you take off because you're an athlete. That's not asking him to do a lot. That's asking him to do one read and run. And colleges do that. And so you get into the pros and you can't really do anything. That's kind of Trey Lance's situation. They asked Brock Purdy to do a lot. Kyle Shanahan has said it. They've laughed at it when they've been asked and talked about this certain question. So Patrick Peterson loses all credibility when he says they're not asking Brock Purdy to do a lot because they are. I'm still amazed that we're having this conversation because it goes back to, should he be paid? Should he not be paid? Look, they're so far. Let me tell you this just because I know. They're so far beyond that conversation. It's not whether he should be paid. It's really not even at this point what he should be paid. They're working out details. It's dot and I's, crossing T's. It's when he gets it. It's all these major details of a contract. What's guaranteed? What's the check going to be like? What's the guarantee at signing? What's this? They might be haggling over a couple of million dollars a year, but the Niners know. How many times have they come out and said, look, he's our guy. Like, they're not going to all of a sudden decide they're trading for whatever, some quarterback in the league. They're not doing that. There's not a major debate, as funny as this sounds, about what the number actually is. It's close to within a couple million dollars. There's all these other things that are holdups as far as a contract is concerned. That's just what it is. And so this whole debate of going back to, because this is the premise of the conversation, and Kay Adams is asking how good he is, which is a not so veiled way to say how much is he worth. It's beyond that. And so people that are still talking about that conversation, that was a conversation from months ago. You know, he's getting what he's getting. Anybody who's close to the situation is telling you that loud and clear. John Lynch is screaming it. Kyle Shanahan is screaming it. Jed York has said it without saying it. Like, they know. It's not about that. But I listen to that knowing that Patrick Peterson has known Brock Purdy since his Arizona high school days. And I kind of just laugh and I'm like, you're saying he's not asked to do much? A quarterback in the NFL is not asked to do much. Okay. It's laughable, man. Not asked to do much. All you have to do, by the way, as a quarterback in the NFL is be the leader of your entire team, be the face of a franchise. When you get in the huddle, you control everybody and you try to keep everybody calm. And then when the actual play happens, you come out of the huddle and you try to read what the defense is doing. You might have to change a play. The Niners have two, maybe sometimes three plays that he can change to. So you're positioning everybody. You got to know every single thing that every other person is doing on the offense. Then the fun starts when the ball is snapped and it's, I'm getting killed by a 300 pounder, but that receiver has outside leverage inside. Oh, that safety just jumped that. By the way, that happens within about 2.2 to 2.3 seconds, and you got to decide what you're going to do with the football and not try to get yourself killed. But you're right, Patrick Peterson. They don't really ask him to do much. Just be the face of the franchise. Just lead the team. Just be the best leader. Just know the entire offense. Just satisfy Kyle Shanahan. Then when the play starts, you know, I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? How can someone who actually played the game and knows the game say something so stupid as that they don't ask Brock Purdy to do much? Yeah, he doesn't do much around here. What do you think he is? And again, I was just going to disparage the long snapper. Like, the long snapper doesn't do much around here. He just snaps. Well, that's kind of important. I'm just saying, the quarterback and not doing much, I don't care what you do. You know, like I said, the way that they can boil it down to simplest terms, and it's still not simple, is at the college or high school game where you're the best athlete and you go one read to the number one option, and if he's covered, you run. I mean, that's about as simplistic as they can make it, and that's still not simple for all the different things that you have to do. And he played. Yeah, they don't ask him to do much. Isn't that what he said at the beginning? They don't ask him to do much? Let me try that.
Brady is a very efficient quarterback. You know, he's haven't been asked to do a lot.
He hasn't been asked to do a lot just yet. Yeah, just be the face of the franchise. Just carry it, you know, the offense with all the injuries last year. Make all the right reads. Don't do anything stupid off the field. Be a leader. Read the defense. Let's see. He's a, you know, whatever. Being a very efficient quarterback is a good thing. That's not disparaging, even though those were disparaging comments. He's not asked to do much. Okay. Not asked to do much. I'm sorry that I got stuck on that, but it's unbelievable when people do that. I put Caboose up there, but now that I look back, I don't think I have a Caboose for you today, and I'm really pissed about that because that's how we always end the show. I was looking for one this morning, and I don't think I put it up here. I should take that back. I thought I had one, or I did have one, and I don't think I put it up here. So I'm going to have to skip that for today. I'm very sorry. It's my fault. Real quick, before I get out of here today, that is the official announcement. Again, Steph Curry, yesterday they do that, underwent an MRI. The MRI confirmed the injury, grade 1 hamstring strain. He will be reevaluated in 1 week. And as you can do, please, I'll show you this one more time, at johnlundunleashed.com. Make sure that you go to johnlundunleashed.com, and you can read this whole thing on how the Warriors can survive without Steph Curry. There it is right there. It's on the website, johnlundunleashed.com. How they can survive, why that record of 9-3 in 12 playoff games without him is misleading. But really, the most important part that you need to know going into this whole thing is right there. Quick math, he's going to miss games tonight, Saturday, and Monday. Game 5 is a week from yesterday. I wrote this yesterday, so it's a week from today. So the 7th, so May 14th, that is checkup day. That is also game 5 day. So how quickly can Steph Curry get back? It's a hamstring injury that can worsen if you play on it. So it comes down to Rick Celebrini and company. How quickly can they get Steph ready? He is going to miss games 2, 3, and 4. Could they be at least tied 2 games apiece? And could Steph Curry play in that pivotal game 5? Game 5 winners, when series are tied 2 games apiece in NBA history, win about 80% of the time. So that would be nice if they could win at least one without Steph Curry, have the series tied at 2 games apiece, and then he's ready for game 5, which is the pivotal game. And then, as I say, the 5 reasons or 5 ways they can survive. Hey, buddy. Well, all he has to do, if this was Patrick Peterson, he'd say that he didn't have to do much. All he has to do is assume the Curry position. The forgotten man, I'm not saying he has to replace him, but Jonathan Kuminga, there is now an open spot in the rotation, and JK could fill it. Now, this is where you might get some encouragement. Kuminga averaged 31 minutes per game and scored 21 points per contest, grabbing over 6 rebounds per night during December because there was injuries he played, including a game he started versus Minnesota on the 6th of December, scored 20 points, grabbed 7 rebounds in a 114-106 Warriors win. So Kuminga could step up in his absence. Where is Pods? I told you about this earlier, but these are the numbers for Podziemski. So that game against Houston, as I said, he scored 26 in that game versus Houston, 9 of 18, 6 of 11 from three-point land. Since that game, 12 for 35 and 6 for 21 from 3. They need Pods. And then, as I told you, during April, I'll do this again. During April, and this is, and if you watch the show with any regularity, you know, I was like, if this is the Pods they get, they could go far. During April, 17 points a game, 51% from the floor, 48% from 3-point range, with 6 rebounds and 4 assists. He did that through the entire month of April. They need that guy to show up again. I talked about the other end of the floor. 111.2 is their defensive efficiency since Jimmy arrived. They need that. And of course, Minnesota, I didn't expect to miss their first 16. They went 5 of 29 from 3. Got to finish up, as I point down there, 14 second chance points. Got to stop that. Batman Jimmy was number one. He goes from Robin to Batman, and somebody else has got to figure out being the Robin. Maybe that's Buddy Hield again. As I said, Jimmy needs to be Bruce Wayne for a week or so. So there you go. Those were the five ways. You can read more on the details of them. How will they survive without Steph? That is up right now at johnlundunleashed.com. So if you would check that out, that would be outstanding. Anything else today that we need to go over? Let me hit your chats real quick. Again, thanks to Dr. Riopel and Riopel Sports Medicine. Click on that QR code right there. Whether it is you've heard me talk about my wife and the stem cell treatment, how she's feeling great, the elbow, the shoulder, especially the foot as we were walking around in Vegas. She's like, thank God for Dr. Riopel. So click on that. I just updated with my low T, my low testosterone. I did that the other day. I only have to do that like every 4 months. Real quick, they take the blood, do a quick procedure. It's really easy and fast, and you're going to be feeling like yourself in no time. So thanks again for Dr. Riopel and Riopel Sports Medicine. If you can't click on that QR code or something, just Google it, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel in San Ramon. They do all sorts of procedures as well beyond the ones that I'm telling you about. So click on that QR code for Dr. Riopel. Anything else? I will be back tonight, by the way. I'll be back tonight for the Warriors postgame show. Remember, right after the final whistle. So keep those alerts on, and I'll let you know when we are good to go for tonight. What else do we have? Anything else today? Sorry again about yesterday. We had some travel issues. That will not happen again. I like to deal in reality, and the reality of that whole situation is I don't think there's anything to it, or I would bring it to you. Like I said, I try to filter out things that I think are just for clicks. I do the best I can. I realize that's what this medium is all about, is trying to get as many clicks and people to tune in and subscribers and watchers and viewers and everything like that. And I understand that. I guess that just is never going to die, that kind of stuff. But there you go. What else? I think that's it. Thank you for tuning in today. If I did not acknowledge you or say hello, I will make sure that we do that in the future. Thanks for jumping in. I did say the 1-420 just popped you up there. John Joseph, some guys who came in. Now, you've been here for a while. You didn't come in late today. James, good to see you, my friend. Really good stuff to see everybody today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for hanging out for Thursday edition of the show. Get those alerts on. Please hit the like before you get out of the room today. That would be absolutely amazing. And please subscribe on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. We'll be back for the post-game show tonight, also on the Bay Area Sports Collective. Thanks today for watching on X at John Lund Radio. Slip on over here to the YouTube chat room and say hello to us at some point. Thanks for watching on Instagram today as well as LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitch, however you like to watch. That's great. We would love it if you'd migrate at some point over to YouTube and say hello on John Lund Unleashed. All right, until tonight, everybody have a great Thursday. And we'll talk to you tonight after game two of the Warriors and...
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!